I would like to take just a moment here to express my gratitude for your attendance this evening. I think often we as individuals fail to recognize when people need to be commended. And one of the things that we need to be commended for is our attendance. Another thing for which we should be commended, and I need to commend this group for something that occurred this morning and often occurs while I am preaching. I see the look on your face. I see the focus that you have on what is being said, and I hear what is to a preacher a glorious sound. That glorious sound is the sound of pages flipping when the preacher calls out a scripture. Now, the reason that it is joyful is because you are searching the scriptures to see that the things that I say are found in the scriptures. And I have no doubt that you will let me know, some of you already have, when I call out a scripture and then read a different one or something of that nature. But you are to be commended. I appreciate it. This morning, I was told following the sermon that there were 32 scriptures. That's okay. Some of you found every one of them. If you didn't, you possibly jotted them down. Tonight, I'm going to give you just a little bit of a break. I suspect that there are only about 11. But sometimes fewer scriptures are needed to prove a point. This evening, we want to talk about four great rewards of Bible study. Our text is Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And as you turn there, I should hear the pages flipping right now. As you turn there, we're going to read what the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Spirit, wrote to the church in Rome. He said to them, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." We know that the Scriptures have been with us for a good long time. We know that the revelation of Jesus Christ, once it was completed, there is no future revelation. And so we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We must realize that no period in modern history has been more favorable for Bible study than the present. What do I mean by that? Oh, in times past, perhaps there was not electricity in the house, and you had to read by candlelight, or that's where the expression comes from, go to bed with the chickens. The lights went out, you went to bed, and you were up before the lights came on. But today we have situations that are more favorable for Bible study than the present. For instance, we have some good translations available for comparison. Don't get me started on the translations. That's another sermon for another night. However, there are a few good ones that we might use, that we might compare to see what is being said to determine the full import of what has been written aforetime for our learning. We also have good study helps within the reach of most of us. Very few folks have a lack of access to even a concordance. Do you know that you can go online and find a concordance? A pretty good one. You can buy one relatively cheaply at a Bible bookstore. You can ask the church. They will probably provide you with one. And so we have these. We have also commentaries. We have men who have dedicated themselves to a study of the Bible and are able to break it down into digestible pieces. Now, we have to be careful because there are also others out there writing commentaries for the source of income. They sell the books. They get some money. So we have to be very careful. We have to be diligent in our study and also in those things which we study. But we have dictionaries. We have other reference works. We have religious journals published by brethren. In other words, people of the church. We have manuscripts. We have lectureship manuscripts. We have electronic devices. Oh, one of the finest reasons that I can think of is to get a smartphone is because your smartphone can have the Bible on it. And if you ever figure out how to search on your smartphone, you can find scriptures. We have electronic devices. I suspect that there's somebody here reading the Bible on a tablet. I never hear those pages turn. But nonetheless, we have many services of the church geared towards study. There are Bible classes. Many years ago, perhaps, there were not that many opportunities for them to get together because of the way the services were structured. But while we see all these things, there are so few really taking advantage of what is offered. How many of us read our Bible on our smartphone? How many of us spend time in the computer studying on the Bible? How many of us spend time with a commentary in front of us and the Bible in front of us? Oh, I know all the excuses that happen. I used them. I invented a few. I don't have time. I borrowed that one, by the way. But we all have time. Why are so few really taking advantage of what is offered? Our text tonight, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, outlines four great rewards to be received from studying the Bible. So I'm going to take that verse and I'm going to break it down into parts so that we all see and can understand what these four great rewards are. First, education. The scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, our text, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." I'm going to give you a quote. This is a quote from the president of Cornell University. "No man can be called an uneducated man who knows his Bible, and no man can be called an educated man who does not know his Bible." I'm glad I found that quote. Because if you know the Bible, you are educated. You can tell what the Bible says because you have read it, you have studied it, you have diligently searched. A Bible study educates us with a variety of literature. You want history? If you're a history fan, and I know some people are, you can go to the Bible and it is full of history. You want poetry? Some of the prettiest poetry in the world is found in the Bible. You want biography? Oh, you can study the life of Christ. You can study the life of Paul. You can study many, many different characters from the Bible. And so you have all of these things. It's a world of education. And trust me, if you study every opportunity that you have, you will not grasp it all. Bible study educates us also about ourselves. Turn to James chapter 1, verses 23 through 24. We have the Bible here telling us that it's not just enough to be a hearer. We must also be a doer. "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Now, I suspect that none of us remember exactly what we look like. But we see ourselves so regularly in a glass, in a mirror, that we know. I want you to try an experiment. I want you to go to town with your wife, your child, your sister, your brother, whoever it is, and say, "Okay, I'm going over here in the card section while you go buy groceries, perhaps at Target." Okay? And then try to think, 10 minutes after looking at all these cards, what color blouse does my wife have on? I've got a system, I know. If she wears a red shirt, I usually wear a red shirt. I go, okay. But think about it. How easily we forget. People often ask, "Oh, why do y'all wear the same color clothes?" Now you know. So I don't get lost. Okay. "But if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And so if we stay in the Bible, we continually see the path that we're supposed to be walking. And so it's an education. The Bible study also educates us about our God. If we want to know about God, don't ask somebody. Go to His Word. Go to that which identifies Him. What? Go to that which tells us of His nature. We can see all of the qualities of God. Oh, all too often people want to say, well, God is good. That's all they want to know about God. But God is also a vengeful God. God also will pour out His wrath upon those who are evil. They might not get it in this lifetime, but they will get it. The Bible will tell us about His power. All we need to do is go to the Old Testament and the New Testament and see the miracles that God did. Who else is able to part the ocean? I'm sorry, the sea, the Red Sea, and allow His children to walk through on dry land, and then release those waters when there's those who would be their captors decide to follow. Who else could turn water to blood? We don't need to name all the plagues. You know them. The miracles that God did. It also tells us and educates us regarding God's will. What is the will of God? It is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, great. God does not want me to perish. However, friend, you must understand the Bible will tell us how to not perish. It tells us of His eternal purpose to save those who would love Him and keep His law. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. It tells us and educates us about our salvation. How many of us want to be saved? We all do. Whether we would admit it or not, or whether we are able to proclaim it, we all, down deep, want to be saved. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Friends, we all need salvation. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we need God. We need an education in God to understand His nature, His power, His will, His eternal purpose for us. It also tells us of the source of our salvation. What an education. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His dear Son, by whom He appointeth... Well, that's what I get for trying to quote. He sent His Son. He died upon the cross. He gave Him to us. He had appointed Him as heir of all things. Next time I try that, I'll know it. It tells us of the plan of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have three other great rewards of Bible study. What's the next one? Determination, patience. The Bible teaches us the need for a determined patience. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It points out to us how that we are to be patient, that we are to continually strive to do God's will. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice the promise that is there. For in due season we shall reap. But notice the condition that is placed upon that promise. If we faint not. In other words, we must persevere. We must continue on. You know, if we want something out of this life, we must press for it. We must desire it. Do you know who it is that receives those things that they want? Those who try hardest. Those who strive for it. Those who will not let anything stand in their way. What do we want? We want to go to heaven, don't we? What are we going to let stand in our way? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. We have another passage regarding patience. He tells them in the Hebrew letter there, in chapter 10, verses 35 through 39, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. What did he say they had need of? They had need of patience. What was he warning them about? Don't stop now. Press on. Keep going. How many times have we had our children say to us, Daddy, I can't do it. They're afraid. They're going to skin their little knee when they fall off their bike. But what do we tell them? Come on, you can do it. This is what God is saying. You can do it. But you've got to be patient. You've got to be determined. The Bible illustrates the rewards of the determined patience by examples. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm not going to try to quote Hebrews chapter 11, nor am I going to read it. You may very well do so at your own leisure. It's an excellent study. But what do we find out about these people? Why, they subdued kingdoms. They did all of these wonderful things. Why? Because they had faith and because they had determined patience. Abraham promised the land of Canaan. Do you know that he never lived in the land of Canaan when it was his? Oh no, but guess who did? His descendants many years later. Number three, according to our text, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that you through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Here we have the word comfort. It tells us that we might have consolation. Comfort in the time of trouble. John chapter 16, verse 33 is a passage that we might go to for comfort, for consolation. As we find ourselves down, as we find ourselves seemingly carrying on or carrying the cares of the world on our shoulders, it seems like we cannot get out from under things. Where do we need to go? We need to go to God's Word. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christ is greater than the world. And he came to bring that peace, that consolation, that comfort that can be ours as Christians. But how are we going to know it? Unless we study the Bible. Don't depend upon the preacher to tell you. Study. We also need to be aware of the fact that we can have comfort in times of suffering. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. And who of us do not suffer? Now, all of our sufferings are not the same. All of them are not to the same degree. All of them are not of the same nature. Things that you may be afflicted with may not bother me. Things that bother me may not bother you. And I don't mean things that maybe people say. I'm talking about diseases, afflictions, pains, suffering. But Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We need to understand that the sufferings that we go through now, even though they seem to be overbearing, pale in comparison when compared to the glory that we have promised for us on the other side. Comfort in time of sorrow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We have sorrow. That passage talks about concerning those or them which are asleep. That's talking about those who have died. And I don't know any of us who have not lost a loved one. And we can remember fondly when they were here. We found joy. But we have sadness when they depart. I heard somebody once say that we should cry when a child is born and rejoice when a Christian goes home. Why? Because that child is starting in a world that's full of sin. That's starting in a world that's full of deception. That's starting in a world that's full of things which are designed by the prince of this world to trip him up. The Christian who departs, having been faithful, oh, they have glory. What does 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 say? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know how many times that this has been read at funerals. Unfortunately, often it's read at funerals where it doesn't apply. When people have lived their lives according to this world, they've lived chasing the almighty dollar. Oh, there's nothing wrong with the dollar. But if that's the focus of our life, then we get what we focus after. Those who are to be comforted, notice, those even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. But when a loved one goes to that reward which they have provided for themselves by the way they live and the way they have obeyed or not obeyed, know this, that they will stand before God for what they have done. Yes, it is a very sad thing. But we as Christians can find consolation, can find comfort, knowing that we have opportunity to know this and to share it with others, that they too might want to be Christians. Let's get to the last point in the sermon. We have seen these things that the text offers. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, for that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Anticipation, hope. The great joy of anticipation. We all need something to look forward to. Oh, how many times have we as children been enticed? If you'll do so and so, this and that, when the circus comes next week, I'll take you. Oh, yeah, I want to do my chores. Or whatever the case may be. I always was in great anticipation when Friday came. I get my check. I needed that check. I had a car payment, a house payment, all of those things. We all need something to look for. I guarantee you, had it not been for that check, I wouldn't have gone to work. But when it comes to our anticipation as Christians, we need to investigate it. The best way to do so is to study the Bible. The Bible teaches Christians that we always have something to look forward to. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 beginning. We're going to read from there through chapter 5 and verse 4. It's not that many verses. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren by inspiration, writes to them and tells them of the hope that they can have. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but that our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." There's a lot said in that passage. One of the main things that you need to get out of it is that we will pass from this life to that which is beyond. And if we have not made preparation, we have no hope. But we can study the Scriptures, and in the Scriptures we can tell about that hope. We can see, based on this passage, and there are many more, that tell us of that eternal hope. This is something for Christians to look forward to. How do we know about it? Through studying of the Scriptures. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We need to understand and appreciate the great rewards of Bible study. There are others, by the way, other rewards. I chose tonight to point out these four. If you want to have these things, if you want to have an education, study the Bible. If you want to have determination or patience, study the Bible. If you want to have consolation or comfort, study the Bible. And if you want to know about that hope that is ours as children of God, study the Bible. We need to take advantage of every opportunity that is ours to learn more of the Bible. When we stand at that great judgment bar of God, excuses will not do. If we die at 50 years old, we can't stand there and say, you know what, if I'd lived to be 60, I'd learn more. Or if I'd have made it to retirement, I would have studied more. The rewards that we have are the rewards that we strive for. How do we strive for them? By studying, by learning. And if we know the Bible, we know what God wants us to do in order that we might be saved. For those who may not know, what does the Bible say to do in order to be saved? For those who are outside of the body of Christ, in other words, alien sinners, the Bible is clear. It tells us that we must hear. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John 8, 24 tells us that we must believe. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Luke 13, 3 tells us that we must repent. Jesus himself said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And Romans 9 and 10 tells us that we must confess. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Of course, we can't neglect what many call to be the final step, which is not the final step in the plan of salvation, and that is to be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When they were asked the question, when they realized they had crucified the Son of God, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we must live faithfully until death. Friends, part of living faithfully unto death is studying the Bible. Because if we study the Bible, we will know how to live. If we know how to live, we will want to live as the Bible directs. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's the gospel plan of salvation. What about those who have allowed sin to enter into their lives and to separate between them and God? The Bible is clear about this also. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Four great rewards of Bible study. Are you receiving the rewards? Do you want God's reward, eternal life? You can have it tonight. What are your needs? If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.